The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. My name is Looney, your host, and today I have the privilege of introducing a very special guest to the show, Adam Kipnis. Adam is recognized as a top marketing strategist and business breakthrough specialist who can show any business owner in less than 45 minutes how to triple their current numbers of leads, double their sales, and increase their annual revenue by $30,000 to $50,000 or more. And this is done without spending a cent on marketing or advertising. Adam is the go-to coach and advisor for many independent professionals, including accountants, realtors, real estate investors, attorneys, and medical practitioners, 22 of whom have crossed the $1 million in annual revenue mark. Four of Adam's clients have grown from under $100,000 to over $1 million under his guidance. Very impressive. Adam is regularly featured on Forbes.com, and his system has been seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, and Fox. Adam, it's an honor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
It is my pleasure. You are the marketing guru. So today we'll talk about what is backwards marketing. We'll discuss the difference between marketing and sales. And of course, towards the end of the show, as you know it, we'll get into your morning routine.
Perfect.
I know from your background, you stated that effective marketing is getting your ideal client's attention and stating the offer correctly, right? So a lot of us, when we think of marketing, we tend to give the offer first without letting our clients know what's in it for them, what's the value in it for them. And so that's backwards. Tell us a little bit about backwards marketing.
Yeah, it is. So what I've found is whether you're at a networking event or whether it's your website or whether it's just advertising that you see in most places, most people make the offer first. Here's what I do. You should buy it. And then they go into explaining why it solves a problem or why someone should buy it. Mm-hmm. What we should be thinking about is what is keeping our client up at night? What is the thing that they need most in the world? If you identify that in your client, then you let them know that you can solve that problem. They're much more open to actually taking you up on the offer. If you look at any traditional website, and this is, you know, mine used to be like this. A lot of my clients are like this. You go to the website, it's all about what you can offer, and there's a phone number to call or a free consultation to give. It rarely speaks exactly to what's keeping someone up at night so they know that you're the right person. And most people, when they go to websites, they want information. They don't want to buy anything. So why are we trying to sell people on our websites when we should be providing information because that's what people are going for? Google is the largest search engine, not because people want to buy, but because people are craving information. And so to market better and to market forward is to offer last, not first.
Mm-hmm. I love that you said that because Google they don't need advertisement. We do it for them. Word of mouth, like Google is, it's a term now. I like what you said about finding the pain point. That is very challenging for a lot of people in startups. Is identifying their pain point, the pain point from their customers and their clients. And a lot of it can stem from not having a niche or not knowing how to go 7 level deep and actually finding what, finding that niche. Why do you say that don't find a niche? Because I see there could be a correlation to the issue, right? They don't have a niche. Therefore, they cannot identify a pain point from their ideal clients or customers.
Yeah. And this is, I get a lot of pushback. It's a little controversial to say don't find a niche, because niches bring the riches, I think is, you know, a common term. But many people try to create a niche. They're like, I'm going to go after dentists, or I want to work with business owners. The problem with that is they might not know any business owners. They might not know any dentists. So I'm a big believer that you don't find niches, niches find you. And if you are struggling in your advertising, you're struggling in your business, or even if you just need a kickstart to it, look at who's in your world. If in your world is people of a certain variety, it could be a certain income level, it could be a certain belief or faith, it could be sports fans, it could be you know, doctors or lawyers. If you look at the people already in your world, you will find a niche develop. So rather than going to try and pick a niche, let that niche pick you and then capitalize on it.
Interesting. Interesting way of putting it. Let your niche find you, find a problem, and then work to solve it. And then your niche will grow eventually.
The niche is already there. Typically, we're just not seeing it. I had a client not too long ago who wanted to work with clients with over $1 million. He did consulting, and his goal was people who made $1 million or more in revenue, and that was what he wanted to do. Well, when we looked through all of his past clients, we looked through his phone, we looked through everything he did, that person didn't exist in his world. So we had two choices. One, does he change his world to go find those people, picking a niche? Or did we look at the people who are already attracted to him and capitalize on that? Another good example is how you do your marketing. My wife and I, we typically, when we go to a restaurant, we don't sit at a table in the corner and have a romantic dinner, although we've done that. Mm-hmm. We tend to sit at the bar at the restaurant and we meet people that way. That's how we've gotten business in the past. That's how we've made friends in the past. That's what we're good at. So why would we say, all right, we want to be speakers, or we're going to do Facebook ads, when naturally we're better at meeting people one-on-one, sitting next to them with a, you know, doesn't have to be drinks. It could be coffee. So what is it you're good at? Who is the person that's in your world? Look at that, because that's what you naturally attract. So if you're already naturally attracting someone, why try and change what's really you and the people who are in your world? So that's what I focus on with my clients. And I encourage people to look for in their own world, who is in your world, and they already know you, like you, and trust you, and you know how to do it. So let's do that rather than trying to learn a new skill set while trying to build a business as well.
Mm-hmm. So don't look too far from home, essentially.
I like the way you put that. Yes. Don't look too far from home, because the people are already there. We just have to look at it in a different way.
Okay. And your twist on it is marketing. It's networking at events, or like for you and your wife is going to dinner and sitting at the bar and interacting that way and getting to know people that way face to face. That is losing its value these days, because we have so much pushed on us for marketing campaigns and using ads and using social media marketing. And so it's refreshing to hear that the tried and true way of doing it is the face-to-face method. It's getting in front of these people that are your potential clients or your potential partners.
Right. We rely on social media, especially. I'm glad you brought that up. We rely on it sort of as a crutch because it seems easier. You could put it out there and touch millions of people all at the same time. There's a lot good in social media. The thing that is a challenge for many people is getting the social media people on the phone or in person. And that should be the goal. Most sales are done because people connect with you. And social media is such, it's a way to amplify what you do, but there's nothing better than getting someone on the phone and finding out what is it that they need most in the world? How can you help them? And then finding a way to help them, whether they need to buy a hammer or whether they need to buy coaching and consulting services from someone like me. How are they going to know if it's right for them if I don't know what their problem is and what they need? And face to face or on the phone is the best way to do that.
Yeah. And it requires building rapport. It requires connecting, and social media doesn't do that very well. You know, it says we're connected, but we're more disconnected than ever.
I agree. I agree 100%. It's the shame of social media, unfortunately, is it makes us more disconnected. It makes us more, and you've been on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
Twitter's an angry place when it should be bringing us together.
It's an angry platform. I agree. I read somewhere, I believe it was yesterday, that, you know, don't waste your time growing your social media likes or your social media following. Focus on growing a email list. Because like you said, likes don't bring sales. Email lists will. People, clients will. Sales will. So I want you to tell us the three crucial steps of marketing. I know you have your own strategy.
So I have a number of strategies that I use, but the biggest things about marketing is knowing what the goal of marketing is. I think that's the biggest thing. The goal of marketing isn't more leads. The goal of marketing isn't more likes. The goal of marketing is more dollars in your pocket at the end of the day. So I like to think about marketing in a more holistic way. Don't just focus on getting more leads. Focus on getting to the problem that someone has. So there's a problem everybody has that they don't want. There's a solution they want that they don't have. And if you can be the bridge between those two things, that's going to change your business almost overnight. So understand the pain point that your clients have, be the bridge to that solution, and work with people who know, like, and trust you, right? Those are, if we do those three things, you can literally change your business. It's a mindset situation. It's not necessarily a strategy situation.
Mm-hmm. So do we scale it back by doing a survey with our potential clients, sending a survey and says, what are you struggling with? Like, flat out, just be blunt about it.
Yes. I actually had a guy on my podcast recently, and he's been super successful, made millions and millions of dollars, and then got really arrogant and lost all of his money, but he needed to get it back. And the one thing he did to get it back is he reached out to everyone he knew and said, is there anything you need that I can help with? And people amazingly will tell you what they need. And if you can be the bridge, you can get that. Now, for him, he talked to someone he knew who wanted to buy a yacht. And I'm not saying that everyone wants to buy a yacht or has the money to buy a yacht, but he found someone in his circle that wanted to buy a yacht. And he said, great, what are you looking for in your yacht? And he wrote all this down and he said, all right, what is your price point? How much, you know, can you pay for this yacht? And the person said, $10 million. That was his dollar amount. And so this guy went out and he started researching yachts, and he found a yacht for $9 million. And he introduced this person who bought it for $10 million, and he made $1 million in the middle.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's obviously a ridiculous example, but someone said, I need this. He went and found it and created himself as the bridge from the person's problem, no yacht, to solution, $10 million yacht. And he was the bridge between it. So that's the type of thinking that we need to have in our businesses, and that hopefully people start to think about a little bit differently than they are today. It's not about what you have to offer. It's what the other person wants and needs, and being the bridge between it.
Mm. Yeah, I really like that, because as I'm listening to you, I'm hearing, don't be married to an idea either of how to make money, of a business model. Is once you find that pain point, then the business model will come to you.
Yes, exactly. Love the way you put that, because it's so true. We all have our thing. I'm great at X. And then we go to try to tell people, I'm great at this, I'm great at this, I'm great at this. And we say it over and over again, and we wonder why people don't come to us. Well, maybe people don't need that. Maybe people don't want that. There's a number other than Steve Jobs and the iPad. Typically, you can't create something and a following comes to it. Everything else pretty much in the world is solving a need that exists and being the person to bring that to the marketplace rather than bringing something to the marketplace and hoping that the need exists for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't think about the end goal at the end, but be in the present and be in the moment and actually figure out what are people struggling with? What have you struggled with and found a way to solve it and made your life easier? Can you duplicate that?
Yes, exactly.
And growth. Okay. Now that really is an eye opener. Thank you for sharing that. And I think it adds tremendous value to know that you don't have to focus so much on, okay, I have this business model, I have to make it work. Although all the signs are telling me that it may not go through, but because it's my gift, I have to make this work.
And yeah. Yes.
Just wasting a lot of energy. So I like the way you put it. I know you, talk about a marketing strategy that you have, that you say, get the prospect to buy, get them to buy again, and then raise your prices.
Yes.
tell us a little bit about that.
So when I think about marketing, I have something that I call the five-step profit formula, because profits is what it's all about at the end of the day. If you make one more dollar at the end of this year versus last year, your business grew. If you do 10 times more revenue, but you have no profit at the end of the day, you haven't really gotten anywhere. So there's five different ways that businesses can grow. One is getting more leads, which is what everyone is searching for. If you've been on LinkedIn, or if you are a LinkedIn person, you probably get three people a week reaching out saying, hey, I can get you more leads. But none of us need more leads. We already have enough leads in our personal world. But what we need is, number one, more conversions. How do we get people to say yes to us? And many of us, unfortunately, aren't very good at it. So work on the sales side. How do you get people to say yes? Once people say yes, statistically speaking, they are 34% more likely to buy from you immediately something else you have to sell. And once you get them to buy from you over and over again, now you're busy. If you're busy, you can raise your prices. Mm-hmm. And if you raise your prices, that goes directly to the bottom line and to that profit. So if you get people to say yes, you get people to say yes again and again, and you raise your prices, now we can go out and find as many leads as possible, because we know they're going to say yes and buy our product or service. We know they're going to buy from us again and again. We know that they're doing so at higher prices. So all of those leads are instantly more valuable. And once you do those four things, the fifth thing is, now we can look at the bottom line. Are there expenses that need to be cut? Is there a way to scale this in a better way? Is there a way to franchise it or license it to get more money in our pockets? So leads are important, but conversions should be the first thing you think about, getting them to buy again and again, doing so at higher prices, and then work on the bottom line to make your business more scalable.
Because the conversion rate is indication that you are adding value. People do want your services or product that you're offering.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you can get your conversions from 1 out of 10 to 2 out of 10 to 3 out of 10, you don't need as many leads.
Yeah.
If you only can sell 1 out of 10 people, you need a lot of leads. If you can sell 5 out of 10 or 8 out of 10, you don't need very many leads to have a really successful business. And it allows you more free time, actually, to serve the people that are your clients, because you're not out there hunting for more people, because the ones that you do find are going to say yes.
Mm-hmm. As you say that, the book, A Thousand True Friends, came to mind. Have you read that, heard that book?
I actually have not heard of that book.
Oh, so A Thousand True Friends talks about precisely what you're saying. If you have if you can serve 1,000 people, they will buy anything that you are selling. And that's essentially what you need to make millions, to be wealthy.
Yes.
Because they're recurring customers. They will keep coming back and keep buying more and more of your stuff, because they've gained your trust. They know what you have to offer and believe in what you have to offer. Therefore, you won't have to compete to get their sales.
Yes. And, you know, there's a lot of talk in the marketplace about branding and personal branding, and you need a brand. And but a lot of people don't really understand the steps of branding. There's four types of branding, and this will get exactly to what you just said. The first is brand identification. You know that the thing exists. The second is brand preference. And this is sort of Coke versus Pepsi. If you go to a restaurant and you say, I'll have a Coke, and they say, oh, sorry, we only have Pepsi. And you say, all right, I'll have a Pepsi. That's brand preference. You prefer Coke, but you'll drink Pepsi. The next is brand insistence. I'll have a Coke. We don't have Coke. Okay, I'll just have a water then. You insist on it. The final step, and this is where Apple's been so successful. This is where Amazon, Google, the biggest companies in the world are so successful. And that's brand advocacy. And that's where people go out and tell people about your product, your service, tell them about you. If they advocate on your behalf, this is where referrals come in. This is where businesses really grow like crazy, because if you've ever met anyone that is a big iPhone fan, they see someone that has an Android phone and they sort of look at them with a scowl and a little bit of disdain, like, how could you possibly have an Android? Don't you know Apple's the best?
They scold them. I do. I do. I have an iPhone. I scold every Android user.
I know. I had somebody look at me when I used to have an Android, and she looked at me and she said, really? And kind of walked away. Right? That's more than brand insistence. That's brand advocacy. And that's what we want in our people. And the 1,000 people that you're talking about that are your client, they will advocate for you over and over and over again. And your business can run on autopilot once you get to that point.
Yeah. And then the referral will keep coming. The author, the name of the, I think the author is Kevin Kelly, is the author of the book, 1,000 True Friends. And it's right up the alley of everything you just mentioned.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to check that out, because when people come up to me and they find out I do marketing and they said, well, what's the best marketing? What's the best way for me to market my business? And I said, and I tell them, if you talk to 1,000 people in the next 90 days, you will never have to look for a lead again. And, you know, people think that's crazy. How do I talk to 1,000 people? That's a lot of people. But if you go to, whether it's networking events or you look in your phone and you just pick up the phone and call them, if you go to other people's events, if you put yourself out in the world, but you talk to 1,000 people in 90 days, you will have more business than you could handle and your business will grow exponentially. It's actually that easy. So I have to read that book, because the theory holds true and I actually use it. So I'll have to read his book in case I stole it from him and didn't know it.
Yeah, he says that it requires hard work, but once you've built up 1,000 true fans, you are free forever to live as an independent contractor, to earn more money, to do what you love. And it's true. And it's just what you're saying, because it's reoccurring and it's referrals, and you don't have to do any marketing because you have true people that just want what you have to offer.
Yep. And it will allow you to show up before you get there. If you have 1,000 people that advocate for you on a regular basis, when you show up places, it's like everyone already knows you, even though they haven't met you yet. It's an amazing opportunity, and something that I'm always working on is talking to those 1,000 people on a regular basis. And, you know, hopefully this is a way, one, for me and you to put good knowledge out to the world, but also this is part of our 1,000 people, right? There's going to be people that listen that our conversation resonates with, and that's our world. Yeah,
and it builds that branding. And you mentioned three valuable branding strategies, right? There's brand preference. What was the brand advocacy?
And brand insistence.
Yes. And I have not heard of that. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
This is great. Okay. So I want to get into your morning routine. But before I do that, Adam, tell me, there are four questions that you insist that we must ask ourselves before doing anything in business. And earlier we talked about, you know, not being married to the business idea, but focusing on how to find a pain point where you are in your local near home to actually develop a business out of that. So tell us, what are some questions that are necessary to ask before doing anything in business?
This developed through just talking to a lot of clients, prospects, business owners that want to get to the next level or that are a little bit stuck. And most of the challenges that they have were related to capacity, not knowing what to do. So they either were, they're so busy that they feel like they can't market, or they sit and they don't know, what do I do next? And so the first question is what you're about to do going to get you paid? Right? Is it a sales opportunity? Is it an opportunity to keep a current client? Is it an opportunity to have an existing client get a different product or service? So is what you're about to do going to get you paid is question number one. Question number two is, what you're about to do going to serve your purpose? And we all have different purposes. It could be spiritual. It could be religious. It could be changing the world. It could be making enough money so my spouse doesn't have to work. You know, what is that purpose? So is it going to get you paid, and is it going to serve your purpose? Those are the first two questions. Question number three is, what I'm about to do, does what I'm about to do need to be done by me? There's a lot of things we do every day that we don't like to do and we're not particularly good at. And there's somebody out there or something out there, whether it's a technology, whether it's a partner, whether it's an employee, that can do it better, faster, and cheaper than we can. So is it going to get you paid? Does it serve your purpose? Does it need to be done by you? Question number four is, does what I'm about to do need to be done at all? There's a lot that we do that don't serve us, don't serve our clients, but we do them anyway. I've got a client who used to read industry magazines, and he would pile them up, and he would spend one morning every day, every week, reading these industry magazines. He didn't use the information. His clients didn't benefit from the information, but he was so used to doing it that he was doing it every week. So is what you're about to do going to get you paid? Is what you're about to do going to serve your purpose? Does what you're about to do need to be done by you? And does what you're going to do need to be done at all? If you can answer those four questions, it tells you exactly what you should be doing in your business, and more importantly, why you should be doing it, because it told you in those four answers that it needs to be done and that it serves your clients, your purpose, and it gets you paid. So those are the four questions I like to do myself, and that I coach my clients to do. Once you do that, literally you will find more capacity in your day and you will find more success in your day.
That's very powerful, because I'm hearing they're valuable questions. And if we were to ask those, it will save us a lot of time, because number three, does it need to be done by me? This is an opportunity to delegate. This is an opportunity to outsource things if you must, as a small business, right? Number four, eliminate altogether if it doesn't serve you any purpose. And I really find value in that. And I actually follow that myself in my own business. And it is tremendous. It's a needle mover.
It really is. You know, addition by subtraction sometimes is the best way to grow your business. We just get so used to doing what we're doing that we don't take a step back. We don't take a second to think, why am I doing this? And if you know why you're doing it and it answers those four questions properly, then yeah, go ahead, do it. If it doesn't, well, now we just created time in your day. Mm-hmm. And the more time you have, the more opportunity you have to do what is really best. Take care of your existing clients and find new ones.
It's not, as you said, it's not time management isn't the point. It's actually knowing that time is your biggest asset. That time is money. Time is your wealth. And so if you don't allocate it or use it properly, you're wasting time. You're wasting money.
Yeah, it's like you just stole all my best talking points. It's not time management. It's time allocation. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. Well put. I really enjoy this. Adam, tell us, how do you get up, dress up, and show up in your life, in your day? Tell us about your morning routine.
So my morning routine really starts the night before. If you plan your day the night before, then you know what you're going to do when you get up. So if you write down, here are the five things that I want to accomplish tomorrow. So when you wake up in the morning, now those five things are right there ready for you. You can get to work right away. I'm a big believer. I'm not a huge workout guy, but I do some sort of workout every morning as soon as I wake up, because I don't have to think about it. I'm not great at meditation, but I'm adding it to something that I do, just thinking and getting into the right headspace and then hitting that list that I made the day before. Because if you can do the things that need to be done, because they're already on a piece of paper in front of you, they're already on your computer, or they're already on your task list, whatever is best for you in the way that you work. If you know what it is when you wake up, your day will be so much more fruitful, so much more enjoyable, because a lot of us honestly spend the first few hours a day trying to figure out what we're going to do that day. So if we figure that out the night before, when you wake up, you can really hit the ground running.
Yeah. Now, Earl Nightingale says, the minute that you write your goals down, you write out a plan, you are already successful because you are part of the 1% that knows where they're going. So I admire that you it starts the night before. And I hear that more and more again. It's like, you got to prepare. You got to prep for the day. You got to give yourself no excuse in the morning to falter. You give yourself no excuse in the morning to renege on your commitment. To move forward, to charge forward.
Yes. And they say that practice makes perfect, or perfect practice makes perfect, but really planning and preparing makes perfect. If you prepare to be successful, you will be successful. If you don't prepare, you don't plan for it, you're living your life essentially by chance. You can practice all you want, but if you prepare to be successful and if you plan to be successful, then you will be successful. It can't not happen. And part of that is knowing where you want to go as soon as you wake up in the morning. And that's where a proper plan and a proper list comes into focus. And so I think my morning routine is to look at the thing I told myself I want to do today and go for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, this has been tremendously helpful. Thank you so much for sharing. And to briefly recap, I'm just looking at finding a pain point to start off with for marketing. It's not about finding more leads, but actually conversion rates and make turning those leads into sales and being able to get your client to say yes. And then looking at the bottom line, we really love those topics, marketing tips you shared. And the four questions are phenomenal. The four questions to ask yourself before you do any type of business or get into business is, are you going to get paid for that action? Or is it something that somebody else can be doing? Can you delegate it? Does it serve your purpose? And also, does it need to be done at all? Very insightful, Adam. I thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you, Lynette. I really appreciate the time, and hopefully it's beneficial to your audience. You know, the reason I like to do interviews like this is, well, obviously it helps me, but if one person takes one thing away from our conversation today that helps them in their business or life, I think we've done a good deed. We've done a good service. So I really appreciate the opportunity to just share some thoughts with your audience.
Absolutely. Tell us, how can we connect with you?
Yes, I appreciate that. LinkedIn is Adam Kipnis. Instagram's at Adam Kipnis. Twitter's at Adam Kipnis. Or you can, if for those of you looking to grow your business without spending money on marketing or advertising, as you said in the lead-in, you can go to freebookfromadam.com. It's 8 marketing techniques that don't cost any new money in marketing or advertising that you can implement. It's about 40 pages. It's step-by-step. You can actually, there's examples, there's diagrams. Everything is step-by-step on how to make more money in your business without spending money on advertising. So freebookfromadam.com is a great way. Or you can listen to my podcast called The Entrepreneur's MBA, Lessons You Can't Learn in School, where I interview everyday entrepreneurs on what they did, what they overcame, and how they became successful, and hopefully get some nuggets there as well.
Absolutely. Thank you for the free book. I will put everything on the show notes later so that our listeners know where to find you and actually sign up for the free book. It sounds like it's a great value for short read, and it could be impactful.
Yes, yes. I hope people take advantage of it. It's really step by step. It's what people need if they're looking to grow their business or if you're a little stuck in your business. So hopefully it's helpful, and appreciate everyone's feedback and appreciate you putting it out there for me.
Absolutely. Adam, I will see you at the top of your best morning routine ever.
Thank you, Lunid. Thanks, everyone. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good one.
You too.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.